Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
So we go to our second point. There's work to do. Here's where we get into the nitty-gritty of it for a moment. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let's just clarify that, because the word "all" kind of dominates. All authority going to all nations, because all things, teaching them to obey all things that I've done. You need to understand something about this passage. Some people get confused because they think that Jesus is receiving something that he doesn't have. No, Jesus has always had eternal authority. All that the Father has done because of his resurrection, that now he has extended the authority over all things. The great king giving the great king all things. So imagine in your mind's eye, right? Think kind of, one of these movies things. There's a massive throne with Jesus sitting on it. And everything in reality, the universe as it extends out, is the floor of the throne room. It's all there before him, and it all belongs to him. Given to him by the Father, for the Father. The power mediated through Jesus, again, coming from the Father and for the Father. And just to give you, I always love talking with some of our young adults because, they love the superhero movie thing. And whenever there's one of these trailers coming out, I get a bunch of text messages in the middle of the night, all this stuff, which is great fun. And there's always that little teaser trailer, right? The super short one where you don't see anything, then you're left guessing about the movie. Well, let me give you just a little teaser of where this is coming from, because a lot of people think that this is the new thing, that this is just happening now and it's a New Testament thing. And because Jesus is on the scene, we've been waiting for it all along. In just about 2 weeks from now, we're going to start preaching the through the book of Daniel, heading into Christmas time. And let me just read you this one little verse from chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, so you can see something. And you can kind of nod your head when this sounds familiar. This is Daniel talking. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man." Jesus' favorite term for himself. "Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached," this is one of my favorite phrases in the scripture, "he approached the Ancient of Days," God the Father, "and was led into his presence," into the throne room. Watch, church. "He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Does this sound familiar to you? It's been coming all along. All we needed was the person, Christ, to enter at God's appointed time to bring that vision of Daniel into reality, into fulfillment. And church, in order for us to fulfill our mission, we need every bit of that authority, do we not? We need it. We need that power. We need that presence. We need it. We need it because we're weak, and we have our faults and our little quirks. And in order to do that, we need all of that authority and power. And I'll get to that in just 1 second. So what's the result? You are, I always put a lot of terms on you. You're a mini shepherd, you're a mini priest. But in this text, you are two things. You are an evangelist and you are a teacher. All of you. Even those of you who say, "Well, I'm a little bit shy, I'm not very good with my words," it doesn't matter. You live it out. And if you're able to have a conversation about some movie or some soap opera or whatever happened on the latest thing on the news with someone over coffee, you can have a Jesus conversation too. It's not that scary. It's not that bad. If you can talk about the other things, you can talk about that too. Once you find him, and this goes to a deeper point which I'm about to make. Once you find him, once you encounter him, you want to share him. And as a teacher, once you walk with him, and you get a sense of, so this is the life that God wants his people to live, and this is so satisfying, it's so simple and satisfying and straightforward, then you want to teach someone else to do it. But let's talk about where that passion comes from. When Mary met the risen Jesus, what does she do immediately? She runs to tell the disciples. When John, young John, sees the empty tomb, he runs back to tell the disciples. When Peter encounters the risen Christ over various times and his heart continues to be remade and reshaped, right? He preaches the sermon at Pentecost. 3,000 are changed. The church is born. He gives his life for it. When Saul, on his way to kill Christians, is knocked down on his tail, and Jesus redirects and remakes this man, he gives his life. His entire life is dedicated to teaching and growing people into disciples of Christ. He dies for it. This is the point. When you encounter the resurrected Jesus, your course is changed. Your heart is changed. And now you want to say something about Jesus. You have to say something about Jesus. Let me share with you an observation that a scholar made as I was reading for this morning. Very powerful one. You might want to hang on to your pew for a second. He says, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase the two paragraphs that I read for you. He's just kind of thinking out loud as he's writing, and he's basically saying, we already know that the church in the United States does not share its faith. That's already established. The numbers bear it out. Could it be that all these people who are sitting in churches across the country, big and small, are not sharing Jesus because they've never met Jesus? Let me let that sink in for 2 seconds. You go see a good movie, and you walk out of the theater. In fact, the movie's not even over, and you're texting a friend. You've got to come see this movie. You go to a restaurant, and you have a really good arroz, frijol, and churrasco with a chimichurri sauce, and you're calling your friend in the car as you're trying to catch your breath because you're so full, and you're like, you have to come eat at this place. Ladies, and don't lie to me because I know you're wearing masks and I can't see all of you. You go to a store and there's a bunch of nice dresses, a bunch of nice stuff, and it's on sale. You know that you're calling one of your friends or texting one of your friends, you've got to hurry because this color will look so good on you. And then the guys, we just talk nonsense, guy stuff, you know. Hey, the game is so good, you've got to turn the game on right now. But I don't like the Dolphins anymore. No, but they're about to win. All that nonsense that we do, you get the point. If you are willing to stop and text, stop and call, stop and recommend, how could you not stop and text and call and recommend the person who can change the eternal destiny of the person on the other side of your text or call? Do you see? Can you see? Make sure you know what you're recommending. And why do we do it? For the glory and worship of God the Father who's made all this possible. Because we are in awe of what he's done. All these people gave their lives sharing Jesus because they lived out these four words that I just want to give you as we close. Go, make, baptize, teach. The force in the Greek language is on make. Make disciples. But since go is right next to it, go picks up the imperative tense there. And so it's go and make. Go and make. Church, this is not a recommendation. This is a command. That's how the language is written. Go out. When they talk about baptism, they're talking about help someone see what God has done for them. Help them see their sin that they might repent and come back home. And then make disciples as you teach. Go is connected to baptize. And teach is connected to make disciples. And be very careful with this. Because some churches do this, and this is not what this passage is saying. Let me clarify this for all of us to make sure that we understand. There are some churches who say, yeah, if you just pray a prayer, ask Jesus to come into your heart, saved. Transaction is finished. Wrong. That's not what this passage is saying. This passage is saying, yes, meet Jesus, repent, see what he's done for you, see your sin, repent, and come back home. But then when you talk about being a disciple, because it's not just talking about change into a new creation, it's talking about disciple. A disciple is someone who walks with Jesus. So now that you made a commitment, now that your eyes were open, now there's a life to live. And that's where things fall apart for some people. They think that they did a transaction with God and with Jesus. Oh, I saw my sin. I see my salvation. I understand it. Okay, I'll accept him. I'm in. And that's not what this passage is saying. This passage is saying, as you see your sin and as you see the great salvation that God has blessed you with in Christ, then your life changes. You become a disciple of the one who died for you. It's a forever change based on the forever words of Jesus. It's a lifestyle. a forever lifestyle. And notice something, that each of these words all attack the heart. Baptism is a matter of the heart. Following Jesus is a matter of the heart. Going out to share Jesus is a matter of the heart. Jesus always working on our hearts. So church, go without fear, because Jesus, and please hear this, Jesus is giving you his authority. The authority that he has over everything, the picture I just painted for you, is given to you, that you might go boldly and share him with someone else. Make disciples, help someone live the life of walking with Jesus. Help them make the choice, baptize, and then just teach them. Not out of your perfection, not out of your having it all together, but out of your weaknesses. When he came, when you were most weak, and how he healed and restored and changed your life. So we finish by saying this, I am surely with you always to the very end of the age. You're not alone. I stumbled into track and field. Our track coach in high school, we went to a small high school. Our track coach in high school begged me my 7th, 8th, 9th grade years to please run track. I was the fastest kid in the school. I was a scrawny 120-pound little Cuban kid from Little Havana. But I could beat everybody, including some of the older guys. And she's like, you know, I want to see you race. I just want to see if you can do this. So, you know, he finally convinces me. I'm like, fine, to get this guy off my back, I'll go. So I go to a track meet. He puts these tiny little shorts on me, very uncomfortable, very not manly at all, where your thighs are sticking out. And you know, like you get that suntan mark, not cool at all, right? And so here I come strutting out there. He straps this tight little shirt on me that says Knights on me. I can barely breathe. And then, of course, since I'm not a track person, and this is going to be funny for those of you who've watched track, the Olympics just finished right now, I had to run in my basketball high tops because I didn't have track shoes. So here I am, this alien who is, you know, all these guys are dressed in track and they're doing their little thing and they got the little cleat things, the tiny little shoes with the little Nike thing. And I'm standing there with big basketball high tops. And they're looking at me like, who is this guy? What a dummy. So I'm standing there and they put me, when you first race, if you're not aware of this, the people who have already some times that they've been timed before and are pretty fast, they put them in the 4, 5, 6 in the middle. And then everybody else, either you're new or you're slow, they put you on the edges. Okay, so that's how track works, just so you understand. That's how people are placed. And so I end up like in lane 2 or something because I'm a new guy. I just showed up and everyone's laughing at me because I got these little high tops on. So, and they all have that little metal, the bracket that you kind of get into, the block. And I don't have one. So I'm just kind of standing there. Like if I was going to steal second base, I just kind of kneel down a little bit. I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is how you do it, right? Because the coach, instead of helping me, he's over watching someone like throw that big heavy ball, a guy that can only throw like 5 feet. I'm like, dude, seriously, help me out, you know? So I'm just kind of, I just crouch down. I figured, well, this is more or less how I should start running, right? And Ronnie Marcus said, bah, there goes off the gun. And I start running, you know, and everyone's like 30 yards behind me, you know, and they're like, who is this weirdo with the high tops? And now we hate him because he beat us all. So as much as I enjoyed winning medals and trophies for always winning the 100 and the 200, I was the fastest guy in the district at that time, right? What I really enjoyed the most was the 4x1. So if you watch the Olympics, you know that the 4x1, here you go, bah, you know, everyone has a little baton in their hand. Here goes the first guy, you know, and then you see the exchange. It's so cool. You see all these bodies kind of running and legs and stuff and arms, and then you give the baton and these guys slow down, and then here go these other guys. And it's such a powerful thing to watch this baton being passed around, right? The 4x1 was always my favorite. In this passage, Jesus has passed on the baton to the disciples. And the disciples passed it along to another generation and to another generation. And guess what, church? Here in Miami, in 2021, the baton has been passed to you. Taking the baton is tricky. For those of you who don't know track, you have to mark. They teach you how to mark the floor with tape to make sure that you don't run out of the box, because there's a certain box that you have to exchange it in. You can't drop it because the race is over for you. So you really have to concentrate. The timing has to be perfect, where you just reach back and they give it to you, and then you're gone within that box that you're marking off with tape on the floor. And the baton has been handed to you. Go, says your king, Make, says your king. Baptize, says your king. Teach, says your king. The Gospel of Matthew doesn't end here. It is still being written. And this chapter that's being written is being written by you. How will you run? How will you run with that baton? Will you just run selfishly, hoping that it's just your ticket to heaven? Or will you reach out to the people in Galilee, Miami, who so desperately need to be saved, who need a Savior? Because they're kind of going about their business and they're kind of living, but they're not. They're blind people, empty people, no hope, no purpose, just living from sunrise to sunset. Will you run the race well? Will you run the race well? Now, here's the thing. In track, the lanes are very thin. So you know it is impressed upon you that you are running by yourself. And all you hear is the footsteps of the other people when they're gaining on you, running kind of close to you. But now we go back to the beginning. We go back to Christmas time. What's the other thing we always say at Christmas? One of Jesus' names, Emmanuel, God with us. You are not running alone. Your Savior is running right next to you. And he is cheering and he is clapping. He's giving you some Gatorade. A quick little sip so you can keep running. But run. Go. Make. Teach. Baptize. In other words, be a person of impact. The baton is given to you to make a difference. Not just so you can run in place like on a treadmill. You're going somewhere. This is all going somewhere. All this empties out at the foot of the king. And when you stand before the king, and you will, and all the people that you know, that sometimes you're scared of sharing Jesus with them, they will stand before the king as well. Will they say, Edwin told me about Jesus? Or will they say your name and say, no, you know, they knew me, but they never even invited me to church. What will they say about you? How will you run? What will you do with the baton? You don't have to be afraid because you're not alone. Christ goes with you. And his power and his presence and his words and his authority is promised, listen, is promised to those who go, make, teach, and baptize. If you're just going to run in place, don't expect his power, his presence, and his authority in your life. So if you see that it's lacking, more than likely it's because you don't give Jesus to anyone. Therefore, the promise will not apply to you. But if you want the power and the presence and the authority of Jesus to apply, to be active in your life, the promise is contingent on you go, make, teach, baptize. So church, today I encourage you, go with the authority of Jesus. It is the mission of the church. I encourage you to baptize. Please don't be baptizing people out there in your offices, please. That is like totally not theologically correct. You bring them here, we baptize them here. Okay, so we'll fill in that gap another day. Please don't do that. I've had to warn youth groups in the past, you cannot baptize people in the water fountains, okay, of your school. You can't do that, okay? It's not the way it works, all right? But change their life. Teach them how to walk with Jesus in the ups and downs that you have already been through. And his word says here, I am with you to the very end of the age. All the promises are fulfilled here. The Christmas promises. It's all coming to a head right here. So church, don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant. Don't doubt. Jesus has given you his authority. So that's the authority that you go and you make and you teach and you baptize with. And please remember, even when it feels that you're running alone, you're not. Emmanuel, God is with you. And that's our mission. Your mission, my mission, the mission of this church. A church that goes outward, never inward, a church that is not exclusive, but is inclusive to anyone and everyone who would respond to Jesus. Take that gospel message with you. Don't be afraid. Jesus goes with you. And whenever you speak his name, you're speaking with the very authority that God the Father gave him over the universe. That's the authority that you take with you when you leave these doors every Sunday and when you raise your voice and share Jesus with someone. Delight in that privilege and enjoy that responsibility. Sometimes it's intimidating, sometimes it's scary, but remember, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. The presence of Christ is with you, and his power is with you as well. Be a person who runs strongly, gallantly with the baton that's been given to you. You are writing the next chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Be a person of impact, because our Galilee, our beautiful city, needs to hear your voice sharing Jesus Christ. Don't let another moment pass you by without going, making, teaching, and baptizing. I pray today, as we finish this message, that God would make all of you people of impact, because I know that all of you are people of impact. And I say to you this morning as your pastor, go further and bring someone into eternity with you. Can we say amen to that, church? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your gospel brings newness and it brings change. It has brought change in our life. It's brought healing in our lives, brought transformation in our lives. I pray that we would bring that into the life of another. Thank you for placing us right smack dab in the middle of a Galilee like Miami, that we might be a church of impact, because we are individuals of impact, because we're running strongly with the baton that you've given us. It is our turn now. The generations before us did their job. For better or for worse, it doesn't matter anymore. Now it's our turn. And I pray that you would make us people of impact, people who bring change, a church of impact, a church that brings change, a church that is more concerned with the salvation of one than having a very awesome schedule. Use us, God, to bring true and lasting change to the life of another. Thank you that Jesus has begun that change in us. May you find us courageous, full of boldness as we go, as we make, as we teach, and as we baptize. And thank you that you go with us. We pray all these things in the very precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.